If you have booked a Frontier ticket lately, you already know the experience. The fare looks almost too good to be real. Then you realize the seat selection, the carry-on, and the bottle of water are all separate line items. That is the ultra-low-cost carrier model, stripped to its bones. And for a long time, that model lived almost entirely in the domestic United States. That is starting to change. A story out this week from AeroTime is the latest proof I'm Tower. This is ATS from Radio Hangar, and today we are talking about Frontier Airlines, three new routes to Colombia, and what it means when the bare-bones operators start thinking internationally. Before we get into it, a quick word. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's the headline. Frontier Airlines has announced it will launch its first ever South American flights in December of 2026. Three routes, all out of Orlando International, all into Colombia. The destinations include Bogota and Medellin, connecting Orlando into the heart of a country with a rapidly growing aviation market. Let's start with why this matters. Frontier is an ultra-low-cost carrier, or ULCC. The business model is built around stripping the product to its minimum viable form and competing almost entirely on price. The plane gets you there, everything else costs extra. That model has proven durable in the domestic market. Frontier, Spirit, Allegiant, they have carved out significant market share by targeting price-sensitive travelers willing to forego the extras for a lower base fare. The question has always been whether that model translates internationally. Historically, the answer has been complicated. Norwegian Air tried the ultra-low-cost transatlantic play in a serious way. They flew budget fares from the United States to Europe on Boeing 787 Dreamliners. At its peak, Norwegian was operating more than 150 transatlantic flights per week. Then, in 2021, they folded their long-haul international operations entirely. The math did not work. Fuel costs, regulatory complexity, currency exposure, crew requirements, aircraft maintenance cycles. The margins a ULCC can maintain domestically got squeezed to nothing over the Atlantic. But Colombia is not the same proposition as London or Paris. The flights from Orlando to Bogota run roughly 3.5 hours. Medellin is similar. These are not long-haul operations. These are medium-haul international routes, closer in complexity to flying Miami to Cancun than New York to Amsterdam. That changes the calculus significantly. The airports Frontier is targeting are among the busiest in South America. Bogota's El Dorado International Airport handles roughly 35 million passengers per year. It is the largest airport in Colombia and one of the most trafficked in all of Latin America. The elevation is significant. El Dorado sits at about 8,300 feet above sea level. The air is thinner, and aircraft performance calculations look different than they do at a sea level airport. Reduced climb performance, longer takeoff rolls, higher fuel burn on departure. Every airline operating there accounts for it. Medellin is served primarily by Jose Maria Cordova International Airport, which sits at roughly 7,000 feet above sea level in the Andes. Same performance considerations apply. These are airports where aviation professionals earn their pay. Terrain, elevation, weather, and traffic density combine to make Colombian operations a different environment than a standard domestic run. The routes Frontier is announcing are not currently unserved. American Airlines, United Airlines, and JetBlue all operate flights between the United States and Colombia. Copa Airlines, the Panama City-based carrier, offers connections through their hub. What Frontier is doing is adding price competition to a market that has seen fares stay relatively firm because the existing carriers have not faced significant low-cost pressure on these specific city pairs. From Orlando specifically, the connectivity to Colombia has been more limited than Miami, which is the traditional gateway for South American travel from the eastern United States. But Orlando is a massive origin market. It has a large Latin American diaspora community. It is also a destination for Colombian travelers coming to visit the theme parks and attractions. The demand exists. Frontier is betting that demand is price elastic enough that lower fares will generate more passengers than currently exist in the market. That bet has worked before. When Southwest entered a new market, they famously generated new passengers rather than just stealing existing ones. The low fare stimulus effect is real. The question is whether Frontier can execute it profitably in an international environment. Let's talk about what international operations actually require, because this is where the complexity lives. To operate internationally under Part 121 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, an airline needs authorization from the Department of Transportation in addition to the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA. They need bilateral air service agreements between the United States and the destination country. They need foreign country operating approvals. Crew members need specific international training. dispatchers have to be qualified for international operations. The aircraft have to meet International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, standards in addition to FAA standards. Frontier has some of this infrastructure already because they operate some flights to Mexico and the Caribbean, but Colombia represents a step up in operational scope. The routes are longer. The airspace is more complex. The regulatory environment in Colombia, administered by the AeroCivil, has its own requirements. This is not just plugging in a new city pair. It is building out an international operation for the general aviation, or GA pilots listening. The Colombian airspace is worth knowing about. The ICAO region covering Colombia uses standard ICAO procedures, but the airways, the reporting points, the approach procedures, and the weather patterns are specific to that environment. If you have ever flown in the Andean corridor, you know that mountain wave, convective activity, and rapidly changing weather are all part of the picture. The Intertropical Convergence Zone, or ITZ, creates convective buildups that can develop quickly and intensely in that part of the world. For Part 121 operators, this is managed through weather avoidance planning, fuel reserves, and dispatcher coordination. For GA pilots considering international flying in that region, it is a different challenge. Operations into Colombia require thorough pre-flight planning. Familiarity with the ICAO flight plan format, an understanding of Colombian airspace classes and procedures, and coordination with customs and immigration well in advance. The route structure matters too. International GA flights in Central and South America frequently use airways and procedures that domestically trained pilots have not encountered before. The flight information regions, or FIRs, are different. The frequencies are different. The protocols for position reporting are different. None of this is insurmountable. Thousands of GA pilots fly internationally every year, including into South America. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, has resources specifically for pilots planning international flights. But it requires deliberate preparation, and treating it like an extended cross-country is a mistake that has gotten pilots into trouble before. Back to the Frontier story, December of 2026 is the planned launch. That gives Frontier roughly a year and a half to get everything in place. That is not a long runway for standing up international operations, but it is workable for a carrier that has been steadily building out its network. The choice of Orlando as the hub for these routes is interesting. Frontier's core network runs primarily through Denver International Airport. But for the Colombia routes, Orlando makes geographic sense. It is significantly further east and south than Denver, which reduces the total flight distance to Bogota and Medellin. It also puts the routes within the natural catchment area of Florida's large Hispanic community, which represents a core passenger base for these markets. This also fits a broader pattern in the ULCC industry, where carriers are increasingly willing to operate routes that do not originate from their primary hub. When you can identify a strong origin-destination pair, you fly it directly, regardless of where it fits in your hub structure. The industry calls this point-to-point flying, and it is the model Southwest built its entire identity around. The ULCCs have adopted it and extended it. The aircraft Frontier uses for these routes will almost certainly be from its Airbus A320 family. Frontier operates a fleet of A320 and A321 aircraft. These are excellent medium-range aircraft, with the range and payload capability to handle 3.5 to 4 hour international routes efficiently. Orlando to Bogota is approximately 1,600 nautical miles. That is well within the capability of the standard airframe. No extended range variants needed, no complicated route planning around fuel stops. Direct point-to-point operations using aircraft Frontier already has in its fleet. That simplicity is part of why medium-haul international makes more sense for ULCCs than long-haul. The airplane is the same one they fly domestically. The crew qualifications overlap significantly. The maintenance infrastructure can be leveraged from existing bases. The complexity cost of going international is significantly lower when the airframe is familiar and the routes are not stretching the aircraft to its limits. It is worth noting that the ULCC model in Latin America has had both successes and failures. Volaris, the Mexican ultra-low-cost carrier, has operated international routes throughout Latin America for years with reasonable results. Viva Air, a Colombian ULCC, operated until its own financial difficulties in 2023. The mix of factors that determine which outcome prevails is nuanced. Fuel costs are denominated in dollars globally, but operating costs and revenue can be partially in local currency. Exchange rate exposure is real. Frontier will collect fares largely in dollars from the U.S. side of the equation, which provides some natural hedging. But crew layover costs in Bogota or Medellin, ground handling fees, airport charges, those will be in Colombian pesos. Managing that exposure is part of the international operations complexity that domestic-only carriers have never had to address. None of this is meant to suggest Frontier is making a mistake. It may work out very well. The market exists, the aircraft are suited to the task, and the timing relative to Colombia's aviation growth trajectory looks reasonable. This is the kind of calculated expansion that carriers make when they see an underserved opportunity. But the headline does not tell the whole story. The headline is, Frontier is going to South America for the first time. The story behind the headline is, they are doing it on medium-haul routes that fit their existing fleet into a growing market with real demand, out of a hub city that makes geographic sense, with roughly 18 months to build out the international infrastructure needed to do it right. For you as a traveler, the likely result is downward pressure on fares across all carriers serving these markets. American and United will not sit still and let Frontier take market share unchallenged. They will respond. Whether that response comes through price matching, added capacity, or competing on product quality depends on how aggressively Frontier prices the launch routes. Either way, flying to Colombia probably gets less expensive over the next 18 months. Source for today's story is AeroTime. Find us at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe.